is Tuesday, December 1st, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, U.S. President Barack Obama calls on Turkey and Russia to focus on their common enemy, ISIL.
And the president was pretty clear. He said that we have a common enemy, and that is the Islamic State militant group.
China releases a report on climate change, and we look at how technology is changing the English language. It's all ahead. U.S. President Barack Obama is calling for a de-escalation between Turkey and Russia following Turkey's shooting down a Russian fighter jet, which has sparked tensions between the two countries. He's also called for a united front on the Syrian conflict. I'm joined now by VOA's White House correspondent Aru Pandey, who is covering the climate change conference in Paris. So, Aru, President Obama basically has called on both Turkey and Russia to lower their tensions following the shooting down of this plane.
That's right. This meeting was called this morning. Both leaders met on the sidelines of the climate conference. And the president was pretty clear. He said that we have a common enemy, and that is the Islamic State militant group. And he said that he wants to make sure that all countries focus on that threat and focus on the need to bring about a political transition in Syria. So he basically, you know, said that Turkey and Russia should tamp down these tensions and, again, refocus their efforts on who they're fighting in Syria, and that should be the Islamic State.
How did Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan respond to Mr. Obama's comments?
Well, it's funny. He talked a lot about diplomatic language and the need for diplomatic language. He said diplomacy should be sufficient in order to resolve what he called problems in the region, and he talked about the de-escalation of tensions between his country and Russia. He said, quote, we don't want to invest in tensions. We want to avoid tensions. And he said that if tensions do arise in the region, all of the parties involved get damaged in the end, and that we want peace to prevail at all costs. So hearing from Erdogan in Paris and then also out of Ankara, where the Turkish prime minister also called on a call for a de-escalation with Russia, and also saying that Russia should keep the diplomatic channels open for dialogue. So on the Turkish side, it seems that there has been kind of an outreach effort to let's rely on diplomacy and tamp down tensions. For its part, the United States and President Obama today reiterated what he has said before, that Turkey is a NATO ally and that the U.S. supports Turkey's rights to defend itself, its airspace, and its territory, and that the U.S. is very much committed to Turkey's security and its sovereignty. Of course, Russia says that it did not violate airspace when its fighter jet was shot down about a week ago. And Putin, of course, has rejected calls for a meeting with Erdogan on the sidelines of this climate conference. And he instead is accusing Erdogan of basically shooting down the fighter jet in order to protect its oil supply from the Islamic State militant group, which Erdogan has vehemently denied and said if those charges prove to be true, he'll resign. So clearly the need for this meeting to tamp down the kind of escalation of words and tensions between Turkey and Russia, and President Obama again asking both countries to refocus their efforts on Syria, on the fight against the Islamic State militant group and the political transition in Syria.
Thanks very much, Aru. That is White House correspondent Aru Pandey reporting from the climate conference in Paris. Thanks very much, Aru.
Thank you.
Well, joining me here in the studio with a look at what's being said on social media about climate change is my colleague, Susan Yockey.
Thanks, Sarah. Robin Erksley on the Drum writes, countries cannot be allowed to be the sole advocate, judge, and jury of the fairness and ambition of their own national contributions to tackling climate change. They must be answerable to the international community. Kim Helmegard for USA Today notes that Britain's Prince Charles joined delegates and envoys to call for more action to protect the world's forests from predatory corporations. Kim writes, Charles took part in a meeting with South American indigenous leaders and their other dignitaries to highlight shrinking global forests from South America to Russia and Africa. Bill Gates, you know who he is, Sarah. Bill Gates tweets, cheap, clean energy will help us fight poverty and climate change. That's why I'm investing in energy innovations. And CDM at RW Surfer Girl tweets, global warming fanatics are insisting that Uncle Sam be replaced with Sunburned Sam.
Well, anything else from the world of cyber news?
Oh, yes, Sarah. VOAnews.com reports that U.S. holiday cyber commerce is surging. The research group ComScore predicts that e-commerce will hit $70 billion for the holiday season that ends in late December with the exchange of gifts for Christmas. Researchers say a significant and fast-growing share of e-commerce is done via mobile devices. The National Retail Federation says total holiday commerce will exceed $600 billion. Holiday shopping, which traditionally begins the day after the U.S. holiday Thanksgiving, accounts for around one-third of annual commerce for retailers. And in some cases, a strong season is the difference between profit and loss. And we wanted to let our listeners know that the New Year VOA calendar is ready. This year, it features 12 captivating photographs that capture a slice of life in New York City. If you would like one, please send your mailing address by email to calendar@voanews.com. Sarah?
Thanks very much, Susan. And yes, please send in your requests about those calendars. And that's International Edition Susan Yaki. Well, a new report by the Chinese government predicts dire consequences for China from climate change. The report, summing up the views of more than 500 scientists and experts, was released just before the climate talks in Paris began. Shannon Van Sant reports from Hong Kong.
China's Ministry of Science and Technology released the 900-page paper titled The Third National Climate Change Assessment Report, which details the serious consequences that global warming will have on China. The report predicts a 40 to 60 centimeter rise in sea levels, putting China's prosperous coastal cities in jeopardy. Melting glaciers and permafrost also threaten massive infrastructure projects such as the Three Gorges Dam and the high-altitude rail link to Tibet. China is the world's top emitter of greenhouse gases and emits nearly twice the pollution of the United States. Li Yan, program director for Greenpeace, says China may have the most to gain from any climate change agreement during the Paris talks.
One thing is very clear from the science, very authoritative science report, that China is already one of the biggest victims of climate change itself. And then taking strong actions against climate change is in China's own interest. I think that's being confirmed again and again.
About 150 heads of state and government are meeting in Paris for the UN Conference on Climate Change, or COP21. 195 countries aim to arrive at an agreement to prevent the Earth from warming 2 degrees. If global warming continues, China predicts cross-border migration and international conflict over water resources. China's report says water resources in the country will shrink 5%. Gavin Edwards, director of conservation for the World Wildlife Fund in Hong Kong, says China's scientific assessment of climate change gives environmentalists hope that it will be a progressive leader at this week's talks.
Some of the ideas they've put down on the table, their intended nationally determined contributions, give us some hope that they're moving in the right direction and setting what I'd say will be a very positive tone for the discussions in Paris as well.
China blocked an effective climate change agreement at COP15 in Copenhagen that has markedly changed its stance on global warming since then. A year ago, China's President Xi Jinping met with U.S. President Barack Obama and pledged that China's greenhouse gas emissions would peak by 2030. Environmentalist Ma Jun says China has emerged as a leading global power in efforts to reduce global warming.
China can find a way to overcome the initial barriers and adopt a more proactive position on proactive position to combat climate change. It will hopefully encourage other countries and regions to come together.
2014 was the hottest year on record. The climate talks in Paris will end on December 11th. Shannon Van Sant for VOA News, Hong Kong.
This is VOA.
Here's Science in a Minute.
An international team of physicists say they have made the first observations of a supermassive black hole devouring a star while at the same time spitting a bit of it back out in the form of a high-speed flare. According to the researchers, the energy produced by the flare in this event is about the entire energy output of the sun over 10 million years. The study tracked the doomed star over several months as it traveled along its normal path and then be pulled in by the tremendous gravity of the black hole. This rare event is taking place in a galaxy only 300 million light years away. The team said that while the black hole they observed is considered to be supermassive or among the largest in the universe, this one was fairly light with a mass of about 1 million times that of our sun. I am VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, we look at how technology is changing language. Today is World AIDS Day. The event's been held on December 1st every year since 1988 to show support for those living with HIV/AIDS and to remember those who have died and focus on fighting the epidemic. Now the United Nations Children's Fund, UNICEF, is warning that Asia-Pacific nations are facing a sharp rise in the incidence of HIV among adolescents, especially among key populations in urban centers. As Ron Corbin reports for VOA from Bangkok, the trend marks a worrying step back at a time when the global incidence of HIV has been falling.
The UN Children's Fund UNICEF report, backed by 2 years of research, says increasing HIV infections among adolescents has triggered alarms of a new epidemic. Wing Sai Cheng, a regional UNICEF advisor on HIV and AIDS, says the cause for concern lies with the dramatic 120% increase in deaths among adolescents since 2000.
Asia-Pacific is facing a hidden epidemic of HIV among teenagers. And we suspect that it is hidden because testing cannot really be performed on teenage people under the age of 18, primarily because there's a guideline that they have to obtain parental consent.
The report says while the vast majority of people under the age of 20 are at low risk for HIV, the prevalence is extremely high, double digits, among key adolescent populations in Hanoi, Bangkok, Chiang Mai, Mumbai, and cities in China. Cambodia, China, India, Myanmar, Pakistan, Papua New Guinea, the Philippines and Vietnam are where the HIV burden among adolescents is most significant. In Indonesia, the UN report estimates the numbers of adolescents living with HIV at more than 40,000, followed by Thailand of almost 10,000. Across the region, the UN says there are around 220,000 adolescents altogether living with HIV. Wing Sai Cheng says the trend points to an epidemic among the adolescent age group in new infections.
So for the fact that they constitute a sizable portion of 15%, which is 50,000 in numbers, tells you that there is an epidemic among this age group. So therefore the challenge is really to get governments to come up with more adolescent-sensitive response to this group.
The report is calling on governments to develop better data on adolescents, strategies for HIV prevention, and adolescent-specific laws and policies. The report adds that just 10 countries in the region have laws and policies that enable independent consent for young people to access HIV testing and other services. Ron Corbin for VOA News, Bangkok, Thailand.
This is VOA.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. Join me and two advocates from the world of politics, public policy, or academia debating critical and controversial issues of our day, bringing depth, perspective, and insight to the world around us. That's Encounter every Saturday and Sunday on VOA.
My name's Larry London. Welcome to Border Crossings, your request and dedication program here at the Voice of America. 1500 Universal, Monday through Friday, we're there for an hour playing your favorite music. You can send an email in and request your favorite songs by your favorite artists. You can also phone in as well. We have great contests and surprise guests from time to time. Border Crossings, every single day during the week at 1500 Universal, here on the Voice of America.
This is International Edition. It's common these days for people to excessively, even obsessively, check their smartphones and other devices. There was no word for this behavior until Lizzie Skernick came up with one, fidgetal. And fidgetal, spelled F-I-D-G-I-T-A-L, is one of more than 200 words she created and collected in a new book, along with definitions, pronunciations, usage examples, and illustrations. The book is her attempt to catch up with a culture that's changing faster than the language. VOA's Faith Lapidus has details.
Words mean a lot to writer and poet Lizzie Skernick. She considers them short poems. They have many layers of meaning, and they evoke emotions, like the amusement you feel when you read through her book. That should be a word. That was also the title of her column in the New York Times Magazine, which she wrote for several years. Because technology is a new frontier, she says it triggered the need for new words to describe the objects and experiences that are part of it.
I'm 42, so I grew up without technology like that, but then I also have it in my life now, so I have the double view of seeing how the world really is different now and how we've changed as a result of that.
When coining a word, Skernick often takes two existing words and squishes them together to produce a modification that describes something new.
Smirch. That was the first word I ever thought of. And to smirch is to go online looking for bad news about someone. And what I liked about that word is it's search on the one hand. It also has smear in it, S-M-E-A-R. And it also has ear in it, like hearing bad news.
The domestic, combining domestic and technology, is the family computer. Evertime was born to express how the imaginary line between our work life and our private life is disappearing.
That means always being on call for your work, always. Instead of overtime, it's evertime. Actually, that is one of the things about our technological age that I resent the most. Because, you know, you really can't go anywhere and be alone ever. And if you leave your phone at home, people will react to you as if you've done something really crazy and terrible, or as if you've done something irresponsible.
Employment also inspired the word povertunity. That's the job opportunity one has to take, even though the salary is woefully inadequate. Skernick's book includes a whole list of made-up words related to the family.
When you're giving birth, everybody has an opinion on how you should give birth. So one of my words was birthy, which is B-E-A-R-T-H-Y. And that's the kind of mother who likes to have a really natural birth, you know, do everything with no medication. Brattle means to talk too much about your children. Feditor, F-E-D-I-T-O-R. And that's someone who picks items out of your food that you cooked for them.
Many of Skernick's new words grew out of requests from readers and friends. For example, denigrate.
I wrote that for a friend because there's a certain person, and we ran into them at a party all the time. And every time we met, they would pretend that they'd never met. And they would pretend they'd never heard of her, and they would pretend they didn't know her. It really hurt her feelings because it was so deliberate. So I made up that word particularly for her.
Her friend loved the word, and so did dozens of readers who send in their feedback.
People on Twitter love it when I give them a word. It's like finally a relief. That's really the best feeling in the world for me when I feel like, you know, I've given someone that something both funny and useful.
Funny and useful are also the right words to describe Skernick's next book, Watch Your Language.
It's actually puzzles about words and things about words we already know to make us think more about the words that we say all the time.
Lizzie Skernick says nothing is more interesting and meaningful than words. For writer Faiza El-Masri, I'm Faith Lapidus, VOA News.
It's a whole new world of language. Well, that's our show. Please visit our website at voanews.com. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks so much for joining us.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Lin Shun Liao, a citizen of Canada, was sentenced November 12th in U.S. federal court to 2 years in prison for his role in a wildlife trafficking scheme in which he purchased and smuggled from the United States to China 16 libation cups carved from rhinoceros horns and worth more than $1 million. Announced Assistant Attorney General John Pruden for the Environment and Natural Resources Division of the Department of Justice, U.S. Attorney Breit Bharara of the Southern District of New York, and Director Dan Ash of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Liao pleaded guilty on June 30, 2015, to illegally smuggling rhinoceros horn objects from the United States. Each of the ceremonial cups that Liao trafficked represents one step closer to extinction for the rhinoceros, which are steadily being wiped out by poachers for the illegal rhino horn market, said Director Ash. This sentence will serve as a strong warning that we are going to find, arrest, and prosecute anyone engaged in this sort of activity and make sure they are no longer able to deprive our children and grandchildren of their wildlife inheritance, he said. Liao was arrested in February 2015 as part of Operation Crash, a nationwide crackdown on illegal trafficking in rhinoceros horns. Liao was a partner in an Asian art and antiques business located in China. Liao's role was to purchase items, including wildlife items in the United States, and arrange for their export to China. Since 1976, trade in rhinoceros horn has been regulated under CITES, a treaty signed by over 180 countries around the world to protect fish, wildlife, and plants that are or may become imperiled due to the demands of international markets. Rhinoceros are also protected under the U.S. Endangered Species Act, which further regulates trade and transport. This prosecution is the result of a vigorous and ongoing investigation into traffickers profiting from endangered and precious wildlife species, said Assistant Attorney General Cruden. We must ensure that the market for antiques and alleged antiques does not also contribute to the extinction of these iconic animals, which could disappear in our lifetimes if we do not act now to stop this illegal trade.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.